Bow Valley. In late June 2013, heavy rain falling on rapidly melting snow in the Alpine triggered catastrophic flooding throughout much of southern Alberta, destroying homes and infrastructure in the Bow Valley in one of the largest natural disasters in Canadian history. Starting on June 19, unrelenting torrential rain pounded the region for 3 days, and combined with melting snowpack, swelled tributaries to the Bow River including the Ghost, Kananaskis, Elbow, Sheep, Highwood, while many of their tributaries all reached flood levels. By the time the 3-day storm was over on June 22, more than 200 millimeters had fallen in many areas, with as much as 350 millimeters falling over the front ranges of the Canadian Rockies in what experts described as similar in intensity and depth to tropical rain. Environment Canada called it the flood of floods. While the water levels at their peak were the highest in the past 60 years, and neared those of historic events of the late 1800s and early 1900s where records exist, renowned Canmore-based water expert John Pomeroy said the 2013 flood was not extraordinary. It was likely neither the flood of a century, nor the flood of a lifetime for those in the region, said Pomeroy, who is director of the University of Saskatchewan Centre for Hydrology in Canmore and the Canada Research Chair in Water Resources and Climate Change. Pomeroy was the lead researcher on a paper published in Canadian Water Resources Journal in 2016, titled The 2013 Flood Event in the Bow and Oldman River Basins, Causes, Assessment, and Damages. His co-authors were hydrological experts Ronald Stewart and Paul Whitfield. The research has confirmed that the 3-day torrential rainfall, which fell on higher than usual snowpack in steep, rocky terrain in the mountains, was the result of a prolonged convergence of two large weather systems over the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains. Similar floods in magnitude have occurred in the past, but not in recent times. Pomeroy's study states that floods in the Bow River occurred in 1879, 1884, 1897, 1902, 1909, 1923, 1929, and 1932, adding the rainstorms that generated the floods in 1929 and 1932 appear to be similar in extent and volume to the event of 2013. If our flood of 2013 had occurred in the early 20th century, people would have said, "Oh yeah, okay, another one like we had 10 or 15 years ago," said Pomeroy. Because it occurred really outside of the working lifetime of anyone who had managed the earlier floods, we were starting as if we'd never seen one. Over the decades, places like Canmore, Calgary and High River have dramatically expanded, including developing on floodplains and alluvial fans. So our vulnerability to flooding is far worse now than it was in the early 20th century, said Pomeroy. In Canmore, more than 220 millimeters of rain fell in just 36 hours, nearly half of the town's annual average rainfall, and debris flows damaged and destroyed homes along Cougar Creek and caused evacuation of about 1,200 people in nearby neighborhoods. While the Banff townsite was not hit nearly as hard as neighboring Canmore and Exshaw, the swollen Bow River submerged the recreation grounds and parts of the golf course, closed trails and threatened Birch Avenue properties. Hundreds of people were rescued from the backcountry. Groundwater flooding occurred in some areas like Canmore and Exshaw. The Trans-Canada Highway was shut down for several days as swollen Cougar Creek and Carrot Creek destroyed the highway, including bridges. Throughout Alberta, more than a dozen municipalities declared local states of emergency. Numerous communities were placed under evacuation orders in Alberta and Saskatchewan. More than 100,000 people needed to evacuate their homes, and, tragically, 5 people lost their lives. Emergency opening of flood spillways on the Barrier Lake Dam in Kananaskis early afternoon on June 20 and for the Cascade Dam on Lake Minnewanka late on June 21 contributed greatly to increased flows that were ungauged due to the destruction of downstream gauges by the gushing water. The spillways had not been opened since construction of the dams in the 1940s. That had consequences downstream of the Cascade Dam with the washing out of the Canadian Pacific Rail mainline, severing of the Trans-Canada Highway, and disruption of the hydroelectric facility and electrical supply to the town of Banff, states Pomeroy's study. downstream of the barrier dam, disruption to the hydroelectric facility, extreme channel erosion in the Kananaskis River and higher inflows to the Ghost Reservoir in the Bow River upstream of Calgary were observed. In his study, Pomeroy said the restoration of the Cascade River by opening the spillway on the Cascade Dam resulted in fish migration into the channel after the flood, which were then left high and dry when the spillway was closed later in the summer. Despite efforts by Parks Canada to rescue trapped fish, it became a feasting ground for local bears, and this popular area therefore remained closed to human visitation for much of the summer and fall of 2013, he said. Further afield, thousands of businesses and buildings were affected on the floodplain in Calgary. In Stampede Park, stables and barns were under more than 2 meters of water, and in the Saddle Dome, water levels reached the 10th row of the hockey arena. On an island in the Bow River, the Calgary Zoo became partially submerged and officials moved several large exotic animals to an alternate facility in extremely challenging conditions that included the near escape of several hippopotamuses into the floodwaters. As a result of the devastating floods, there are visible changes to the landscape in southern Alberta, and many channels were substantially modified during the flood. Pomeroy said a spectacular example is in the upper tributaries of the Ghost River. He said the river washed out around the diversion channel into Lake Minnewanka, and the channel itself filled in with sediment which blocked flow into the reservoir. A breached berm diverted the river into Lake Minnewanka, which created enough concern to open the Cascade Dam spillway for the first time in its history, he said. Pomeroy said during the 2013 event, flood forecasts for headwater communities were generally issued hours after evacuations had begun and after major infrastructure had been destroyed by high flows. But what would a coordinated response to the flood of 2013 look like? Are communities better prepared as a result of the flood a decade ago? According to Pomeroy and the two co-authors on his report, the three main recommendations to reduce exposure to and damage from floods upstream of Calgary and nationally include better prediction, avoidance, and active mitigation. Specifically, better prediction involves improved seasonal and severe weather predictions, precise forecasting for rivers, streams, groundwater, and lakes. In the short term, that would allow for sandbagging for floods, managing reservoirs, and community evacuations in an orderly and safe manner. Pomeroy said there is now a floodplain mapping program under Public Safety Canada. There is better prediction, noting Global Water's future built and designed water prediction and forecasting models, which have been provided to the federal government and provinces and territories. We've been working cooperatively with everyone to try to improve the prediction, and I think that's moving along quite nicely, he said. Avoidance involves land use zoning of appropriate locations for development and conservation based on careful and continuously updated floodplain mapping, regardless of whether floods are caused by rainfall, snowmelt, groundwater, and so on. On this front, Pomeroy said avoidance of floods hasn't gone so well, although he had praise for High River. Flooding of the Highwood River caused water to rise over the top of vehicles in the community, and more than 150 people had to be rescued from the rooftops of their homes. All 13,000 residents of High River were ordered to evacuate on June 20. I thought High River did an excellent job in saying that one of its neighborhoods was simply unsafe and they shut it down and they moved everybody out, said Pomeroy. The homeowners were compensated, but they just said this is undefendable. The best model for this, according to Pomeroy, is giving more room for a river. I think Canmore missed a chance to do this in providing more room for Cougar Creek, which remains a very dangerous creek and remains very dangerous to be close to it, he said. There were a number of people who suffered very severe damage to their properties at that time, who probably would have happily sold out and gone to a safer place, and it didn't happen. It was not the policy of the town or the province whatsoever. The third recommendation involved active mitigation, such as dikes, flood control structures such as dams and detention ponds, channel modifications, and management of agricultural fields, urban development, forests, and wetlands in the watershed. Pomeroy said these structures, modifications or land use practices must be designed and evaluated for their performance under known or anticipated extremes of water flow. In Canmore's case, Pomeroy said concenter lining and riprap on Cougar Creek would be destroyed in a few hours of a major flood in the future. The debris flow dam is its own disaster, still sitting incomplete, and its technical feasibility is questionable, he said. While downstream communities have now better prepared for similar floods, Pomeroy said they need to be prepared for larger floods in future. It's heartening to see that we are far more prepared than we were in the past, but being prepared for the disaster mitigation isn't enough, he said. We have to work to prevent these events from occurring, and one way to do that is to be out of the floodplain. Several studies, including from the University of Saskatchewan's Global Water Futures, have looked at the future flood risk of the Bow River Basin, incorporating climate change as snow melts much earlier and snowpacks in the mountains are much lower. Once that snow is out of the mountains and the risk of rain on snow is minimal, floods would have to be completely generated by rainfall, said Pomeroy, noting the snow on rain event enhanced the floods of 2013. In the future, we will have a shorter period in the spring that has snow cover, so that will reduce some of the flood peaks. However, another result that came out of Global Water Futures is that rainfall intensity is increasing directly with climate warming, and that's bad news, he added. Pomeroy said calculations suggest that intense rainfall will increase dramatically in the Bow Valley, so, when it does rain, it will really rain. We're also seeing more and more how weather systems stall, where they just sit in a place for a while, and that's exactly what happened in 2013, he said. Even the hot weather domes that we've had sit and stall are part of that, and we will have more of that, and some of those will be hot and dry and some will be wet and cause flooding. So, the probability of flooding is increasing, will increase further in the future for almost certain.